Hello and welcome to Better Offline. I am, of course, your host, Ed Zetron. Better Offline. Today I am joined by two incredible reporters from the Wall Street Journal, Catherine Long and Caitlin Ostroff, who just published an incredible and truly horrible story about Polymarket and their extremely questionable influencer marketing campaigns. Catherine, Caitlin, thanks for joining me.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having us, Ed.
Okay, so walk me through exactly what Polymarket was doing with these influencers and social media. Like, what were they paying for? What was the end result?
So the end result was an onslaught of videos that appeared to show college-age social media creators betting and winning large amounts of money online. But what we found is that all of those bets were actually fake. They were placed on a dummy platform that Polymarket built to almost exactly, but not precisely, resemble the website. And some of the wins that the influencers showed themselves having were faked as well. The creators were using things like outdated footage or altered headlines to suggest that they won really lucrative bets when in fact they would have lost.
Right. So just to be clear, so the bets were fake, the website was fake, but also the bets would have lost.
So a lot of them would have. Not every single one, but the majority of the videos where bets were placed would have actually lost in real life, but they were depicted as winning.
That's truly awful. I thought Polymarket was illegal in America as well.
You would be right about that. Polymarket entered a settlement with federal regulators back in 2022, in which they agreed to stop offering their platform to U.S. traders. But as anybody who's used a VPN knows, it's pretty trivial to get around things like that kind of geofencing. Anybody with a VPN has been able to access Polymarket, even if they're based in the U.S. or other countries where Polymarket is banned.
And so these influencers, they're American-based, right?
So it's a mix. Some are based in Canada, some are based in the U.S., and then there's likely creators in other jurisdictions as well, but that was one of the mix that we looked at in our corpus.
And so it looks like here is about 1,100 videos you went over. So that's truly a massive scale operation, but do you think it's bigger than the ones you saw? Or is it just, did you get any idea of the total scale?
Yeah, so we reviewed 1,100 videos that had been posted between late December. Correct me if I'm wrong, Caitlin. Was it late November?
Late
last year, late 2025 by all accounts. Late 2025 and mid-May of this year. So 1,100 videos, 10 creators. My impression and belief from my reporting and Caitlin's reporting and the reporting of our other colleagues is that this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as Polymarket's marketing operation. We identified dozens of other creators who are posting videos in similar formats. We didn't scrape their videos, we thought our sample size was sufficient.
That's crazy. So walk me through the exact stage. So you have a video of a guy guessing whether Trump will say inshallah, I think was one of, probably not in your, but like Trump will say burger or something. And then they're staring at the TV and then they go, oh, he said burger, but the website they were making the bet on was just completely fake.
Yes.
So
in these videos, when you watch them, you will often see a college age student kind of go in with like this hook phrase where they'll say, bro, what? Or wait, what? And then they will be I can bet on this market, and they'll depict the market. And then sometimes it will show essentially what the outcome is of that market. They'll cut to video of Trump saying a certain word or phrase, and then they'll jump up and down and sort of give the impression that they've won.
And this is targeting children. So college age kids, like that, it's explicitly targeting young people.
Well, I wouldn't go that far as to say it's explicitly targeting young people. But what we do know about who it's targeting is that it is targeting Americans.
Right.
When we looked at Polymarket's instructions to people who were paid to boost the reach of this campaign online, A third-party contractor that Polymarket worked with to help manage the campaign said, we'll only pay you if at least 60% of your audience is based in the United States. And then to, you know, as to the point you alluded to, yes, the creators who are making these videos, they are college-aged, college students, people in their early to mid-20s, certainly.
Jesus, it feels like introducing children to gambling on some level. Maybe you can't say that, but I'm certain. I mean, it seems like showing young people doing something and saying you can get bread, which is a young person's way of referring to money for the old heads listening. I knew that one. I'm not that old. But it feels quite dystopian is kind of what I'm getting at.
It certainly is marketed to give the impression that this is a way to make money off of what you know. So the majority of the bets that we looked at, you know, they showed a trade being placed. Most didn't show an outcome. But for those mm-hmm. that did, you know, almost all of them, it was someone winning. I think there was like, what, 4 or 5, Catherine, in the group that we looked at where someone was depicted as losing their bet. So the right. overarching message was you can make money.
I find it fascinating that there's one where they lost. But anyway, keep going. Sorry.
I was just going to chime in and add that, you know, in addition to the creators showing themselves appearing to win money, they also implied that they were wealthy in other ways, including by showing account balances on this dummy website where, again, no real money was being traded. These balances were fictitious. But the videos showed their account balances on Polymarket in the tens of thousands of dollars. Some even had balances over $100,000. And one of the creators whose videos we reviewed, she shows herself placing bets from a San Francisco bedroom, and then she'll have a video where she's showing herself dancing on a beach in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, and she says, "Polymarket funds my life." And there's a Hello Kitty sticker in the corner that says, "I am unemployed." So the impression is certainly that, you know, these people are making enough money off of Polymarket to support themselves and support themselves in fairly high style.
And it sounds like kind of like a real operation here, like in the sense that there is like they're building functional dummy websites. Because looking at, as we speak, I have the animated GIFs from the piece up, and these seem quite intricate. Perhaps they're vibe code and it doesn't really matter because no payment rails are in there, but these seem like they are built to look identical.
They are extremely convincing. Catherine and I and our colleagues were looking at these for about 2 weeks before our colleague Neil Mehta realized that, like, this is not Polymarket. Like, we started off firmly believing that this was Polymarket.
Right. Well, when you say that, so this is the POIY Market website. When you say you believed it was Polymarket, what did you think the purpose was when you found it?
We thought these were just videos that, you know, people were making showing themselves placing actual trades on Polymarket. Uh-huh. I don't think we had a theory at the onset as to why they were doing this, but we came across a bunch of these videos and we were curious to understand, you know, what was happening, like who these people were, how they were making money. And so we have this database of all of the Polymarket trades that we had been building over the past several months. And we started off trying to trace these trades. We wanted to understand, you know, what bets were happening, who was making mm-hmm. these. And we went to go about finding those because all of Polymarket's data is public. And we very quickly realized that we could not figure out, like, we couldn't place these trades. We could not find the actual trades shown in the video. And it took us a minute to realize that this was not actually happening on Polymarket. And the red flag for that ended up being that website, POIY Market, which our colleague Neil Mehta saw and flagged to us.
Hell yeah. Good work, Neil.
Great work, Neil.
Yeah, major shout out to Neil.
Here's the thing, though. So wait, maybe I'm just misunderstanding this. So not only did some of the trades never exist, like it was never possible to bet on that particular outcome?
All of the markets that we saw did exist. And that's one of the reasons why it took us so long to understand that we were looking at a fake website. I mean, we were combing through this database Caitlin has been painstakingly building over months of every single trade on Polymarket, which, you know, is accessible to us because Polymarket is a blockchain-based system. So everything is public. And, you know, we were looking for these trades that appeared to have taken place, right? We saw a video of it taking place and it just didn't seem to exist in this database. And at that point, we, you know, thanks to Neil's eagle eyes, showing that, you know, one of these creators had seemingly made a mistake and accidentally left the URL of this fake site, Poi Market, P-O-I-Y Market. Yeah. That Polymarket had built in his video. And it was only because of that clue that we started being able to unravel that all of these videos that we were looking at were actually being placed on fake websites, which, as we've mentioned, the fake websites were almost identical to the real Polymarket. But, you know, once we started looking for some more of these clues, once we knew that the website was fake.
Was Polymarket. There was one other where it was like this developer link that appeared in a handful of videos where it was like one of the like Polymarket developers dot like their name dot dev dot Polymarket dot dev. And so it was like this internal development site that appeared in a couple of the videos that also seemed like it was being used. So we weren't always certain like which simulated platform the trade was happening on, in part because we heard from creators, part of the instruction that they got in making these videos was to not make it obvious that it was on a simulated website. So yeah, if you were on a POIY market, you might uppercase the I to make it appear like Poly Market. And so, you know, we came across a handful of these, but I don't think we are exactly certain of how much each one was used.
It's so strange. How is this not illegal? I mean, I guess if the website itself is illegal, then illegally advertising the illegal website is kind of just kind of doubling down at that point. Doesn't really matter. Like, has the government? I saw that there was some sort of federal inquiry into Polymarket. Was it related to this story?
We are not sure of the precise parameters or subject of the federal inquiry. You're referring, I assume, to a CFTC investigation that we reported on last week. The contours of that investigation are as yet unclear. I know that it is ongoing and extensive, according to a person familiar with the investigation. You know, I should add as well that the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the agency conducting this investigation, a spokesperson for that agency, declined to comment on the existence of an investigation, citing agency policy.
Yeah, that it's just so strange because I don't think I've seen anything like this in tech outside of crypto, which I know that crypto is kind of I think Polymarket is a crypto product, right? Or it's a blockchain one.
Yeah,
it is.
They moved on from that crap. That crap referring to a comment that I'm making, not the journalist in question.
Polymarket is a crypto, it's on crypto rails, as they would say.
Yes.
That's so strange. What differentiates this from Kalshi? Because I basically consider them the same website at this point, but I guess they're different somehow.
So our social media feeds are just full with videos for different platforms. You know, we came across the Polymarket videos of them placing these trades. We've certainly come across a lot of videos of, you know, people promoting Kalshi, but we haven't come across anything similar in the sense of, you know, Polymarket was, you know, telling people use the simulated website, create these bets, and do not disclose that you have any affiliation. We are always looking to see what we might be missing in coverage of the space. But, you know, Kalshi is, I guess, one difference between it and Polymarket is also that it is regulated by CFTC. Polymarket has a new US product launched late last year that is CFTC regulated, but the broader platform is still offshore. So, you know, we try to look to see what we might be missing in this space. But the Polymarket videos kind of stuck out to us as we were going through our own social media feeds, just trying to understand, you know, why we were getting so many of these, what was behind that, and we did not expect it to lead to these simulated bets.
So are your algorithms, but so did you do this on your own phones or like a journal approved one? Because I'm wondering, are your algorithms ruined now?
Oh yeah, my algorithm is cooked. Yeah.
It's just like in like 18-year-old Zin kids telling you to gamble on the future.
Always see our prediction markets. Like I see no other content at this point.
Yeah. That must be awful. That is true.
I mean, it's great for keeping track of things. It's probably not great for our long-term mental health.
This is why you've just got to look at like lifting videos and palace cats. That's how I get around this. Just like you just need to cleanse your feed every so often. But on a legal level, just like on a thing, what differentiates? Like you said that Polymarket has a US-approved product. Is that a prediction market? Is it something different? And why is Kalshi able to operate legally but not Polymarket?
Yeah, so zooming out here a bit, right? So Kalshi, Polymarket's biggest competitor. Kalshi and Polymarket, they're both prediction markets. The biggest distinction between the two is that Kalshi made a huge bet that it could successfully achieve U.S. regulated status. And Polymarket, conversely, decided that it was okay operating offshore as an unregistered crypto entity that, you know, people can access if they have a VPN, but, you know, they're not technically supposed to. So Kalshi has not necessarily played nice with regulators. You know, it had a pretty significant legal battle early in its career over whether election markets would be allowed on the platform. But it did have success. It won that battle. And now Kalshi is a U.S. regulated prediction market, which it says is legally available in all 50 states, although there's currently some commotion over Nevada, which...
as a Vegas resident, you can't take our beautiful gambling away from Vegas residents.
Exactly. So as one might suspect, the gambling industry is extremely worried about the rise of prediction markets. You know, unlike online sports books or in-person gambling, Kalshi and other U.S. regulated prediction markets have successfully, up till now, made the argument that they are federally regulated. That means that states cannot restrict their operations. So state gambling commissions can't impose conditions on how they operate. They also can't levy taxes on prediction markets. So Kalshi has, you know, fairly successfully been playing within this federal regulatory structure. Polymarket has been playing outside of it. And for a while, the two platforms seem to be growing sort of in lockstep. You know, Polymarket started out with a bit of a lead. It got a huge amount of traction after the 2024 presidential election, which it successfully called for Donald Trump. Kalshi was, it was a lesser known quantity at the time. It had less name recognition. Right. But starting around late 2025, Kalshi actually started to eke ahead of Polymarket when it comes to a relative share of trading volume on prediction markets. And as of last month, Kalshi was doing insanely more volume than Polymarket on Polymarket's offshore and US app combined.
And
do you know what those volumes might be?
Oh God.
Roughly? Are we talking 10
back,
billion?
I would have to go back and look at the data.
Yeah, I'd love to consult a chart in our story.
It was for the month of May, the amount of volume on Kalshi versus Polymarket.
That's really worrying. I mean, I think, so looking this up, it looks like $17 billion in the month of May alone. We live in a godless society. It's a statement I am saying, not the journalist in question. It's very worrying. I find this whole thing quite worrying. Not just the gambling, but the financialization of everything. I don't think it's good to gamble on every outcome, personally. And I worry about this spreading, personally. And I don't it feels like it needs regulation in an extreme way that basically doesn't exist yet.
I mean, I can talk a little bit about my own experiences here. You know, I started covering, Caitlin's been covering this space a lot longer than I have. I sort of jumped into it at the beginning of this year. And as part of the process of growing familiar with how prediction markets operate, I decided to watch the State of the Union through the lens of a prediction market live streamer who was live streaming the State of the Union and talking about the bets that he was placing on what President Trump would say during that speech. And, you know, I think similar to watching live sports on which you've wagered, it was simultaneously more exciting and I think also slightly concerning the way that instead of sort of listening for the content of the speech, it very rapidly for me turned into something closer to a game of sort of wondering what the next word is, like what is he going to say? And will it hit? Like, will the bet hit? And so I understand where the concerns that you're describing emanate from, certainly. I would say also that, you know, there's a lot of people who point to prediction markets as an extremely extremely legitimate financial tool and one that institutions can increasingly take advantage of.
People, I think they're taking, I think the only advantage being taken is of the customers, because I have to wonder how many people win, and it probably isn't very much. And the fact that they have to resort to this kind of marketing suggests that the wins are not quite as common as they want you to believe.
Well, and that's one of a previous story that Catherine and I worked on together, basically analyzed just that, how many people actually win on prediction markets. And what we found was that, you know, about 70% of people who had traded on Polymarket lost money, and losers to winners on Kalshi, you know, was about 2.9 to 1. And so, you know, these, while a lot of the marketing is centered around, these are prediction markets where you can win money, in reality, most people do not win money.
Kind of feels like the DraftKings stuff as well, the sports gambling. Where it's like, oh yeah, of course, it's really easy to, and this is not a statement I align with, it's easy, you just bet on what the winning team will be, but the existence of spreads and also the existence of the weird nomenclature that the prediction markets use is how they get you. Like I remember with I was talking about with Nick DeVore and Rebecca Ungarino from Barron's, and it was just like, yeah, the wording around Kamenei's potential death, and then they just pulled the entire thing, screwed a bunch of people over, and how they design and they say what a win is seems to also undermine people.
Right. And we've previously reported that, you know, the wording for pretty much all of these prediction markets really matters. And so there's, you know, been a lot of people who've reached out to us as journalists and said, you know, I put money on this market, understanding that this is how it was structured. And then the resolution was entirely unexpected, or I don't think that it was a proper resolution. And so, you know, they, especially for some of these markets where it's not really a finite outcome, or the rules might be written in a way where there's potential for different interpretation, you know, there really is a risk of, you know, the market not going how people who are betting understand it might.
Or maybe people can't even see the rules. The rules are difficult to access in the first place. That was the case of somebody we profiled for our last story who wagered everything he had earned so far on prediction markets and ended up losing it all and is now living in a homeless shelter.
Classic gambler stuff as well. I mean, it's even in Vegas. So I live in Vegas, and you walk around, and even there in like the gambling hub of everywhere, the airport is full of the, hey, if you've got a gambling problem, call this number. Hey, gambling problems are scary. Gambling problem, next to a slot machine, of course. But it doesn't feel like, probably due to a lack of regulatory oversight, that there's the same alarm, concern, thought from the people making these markets. Do they seem, have you heard anything from them about concerns related to gambling addiction or anything like that?
So Kalshi fairly recently did add some language related to gambling addiction on its homepage. Mm-hmm. It gave people the option to exclude themselves from the website, which is another common feature that many gambling apps have.
What does that mean?
self-exclusion is if somebody feels that they have a gambling problem, they can ask to be banned from the website, from the gambling app, from the casino. Mm. It's sort of, you know, it's not really a nuclear option, but it's a tool that people who are managing a gambling addiction can use if they feel like their gambling has gotten out of hand. You know, I think that these platforms, they don't conceive of themselves as gambling. They conceive of themselves as trading. This is, you know, in their minds more akin to day trading or, you know, trading in currencies than it is to gambling.
Question. So this is, hopefully this is a no, but I know when I had Arif Hassan and Caleb Wilson on talking about sports gambling a few months ago, apparently DraftKings and the like, sorry, that was last year, DraftKings and the like, they have like an account manager that will actually work with significant bettors. Do you know if such a thing exists with Kalshi Polymarket? Do they have high rollers that they covet? Is that something? I don't even mean influencers.
I don't know the answer to this.
I hope the answer is no.
That's not something that I have heard about. You know, what I can say from our own reporting is that both platforms seem intent on, you know, recruiting college students, and Polymarket in particular has set up relationships with college clubs, fraternities, offering them, you know, payments in exchange for signing their classmates up to the site. So I would say it's...
Whoa. Tell me more about that. What?
This was a story that I reported with colleagues, including my colleague Kevin Dugan, back in, I believe it was March. It was about both platforms' efforts to sign up college students. And, you know, some great reporting that Kevin brought to the story was about Polymarket's efforts to recruit students at Columbia University. And they signed this partnership with a fraternity at Columbia. And in exchange for every student that members of that fraternity signed up, the fraternity got some money. And at the end of it, there was a big sort of Polymarket-funded party. The fraternity got a plaque that said, you know, that they were the first member of the Polymarket pledge class. And, you know, a lawsuit that was filed last week made similar allegations pertaining to Polymarket's activities on other campuses.
Have you heard about anything else like that with Kalshi, perhaps? Or is it just, were those the only events?
Kalshi had some much smaller, much less well-funded partnerships with campus groups. I would say Polymarket is the prime mover in that space when it comes to recruiting college students.
Getting kids into gambling, that's my statement. This is all truly horrible. So the one thing, as we wrap up here, one thing that I keep coming back to is, are there not guidelines around truth in advertising that these cross over with?
Yeah, so the Federal Trade Commission, which governs advertising, does have rules that require that advertisements be truthful and accurate. And then the CFTC also requires that, you know, marketing and that information not be deceptive. So there are laws from at least two federal regulators that, you know, do touch on how prediction markets market themselves to the public.
But they don't appear to. I keep thinking about these videos, and I've had the animated GIF just in the corner as I talk to you. And I don't see how there's not anything being done about this, because even in a very conservative government, this is a kind of vice that could genuinely cause a form of financial crisis with young people, especially at a time when young people have trouble accumulating wealth.
Well, I mean, we don't know like entirely what's happening on a regulatory front. Again, we've reported that the CFTC has some sort of investigation ongoing into Polymarket, although we don't know the scope or details of that. And just from, you know, myself covering crypto for the last many years, you know, often federal inquiries, when they happen, can take many years. And so I think, you know, a lot of these platforms are very new. And so I don't think we necessarily know, you know, how from a regulatory perspective things might unfold.
I should add here as well that, you know, both Polymarket and its primary competitor, Kalshi, have ties to the White House in the form of involvement from Donald Trump Jr. So Donald Trump Jr. is a strategic advisor to Kalshi. He is, through an investment fund, an investor in Polymarket. We don't have any reporting to suggest that that has played any kind of role in the regulators' willingness or unwillingness to take on prediction markets. But I think that, you know, that's important to mention here.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I would buy that they like doing this because it makes things easier for them. But I also think there's just no regulatory enforcement at the moment. There's just like, it feels we're just in a regulatory vacuum where the damage is going to come not so much from what happens, but what doesn't happen. What there isn't an agreement. Like, we don't, like, the FTC could cut in here at some point. Like, I don't know. It feels like the SEC could do something. But to your point earlier around crypto, it feels that when Gary Gensler left the SEC, that was kind of the end of any serious crypto regulation anyway, which would have likely led to regulating this.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously extremely interested in what, if any, actions regulators will take on this. And we plan to continue reporting and try to find out more about what's going on behind the scenes here.
Yeah. Well, any closing thoughts, anything left off from the industry that I haven't gone over? Because this has been wonderful and also truly darkened my heart. Like, I'm going to need to take a walk around the block.
No, Ed, I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, it's not your fault. It's been a very entertaining episode, but just this whole story is so grim.
It's a feeling I understand. I mean, I think what really like stuck with me through all of this reporting was like just how good the videos were at reporting to be on Polymarket. And
yeah,
I like it gave me a bunch of anxiety for, you know, family members who are younger, and even myself, but more them, you know, like how hard this is to actually know, is what you're watching, you know, truly something real, or is it, you know, deceptive in some sort of manner. And so that's been what stuck with me.
Yeah. It does feel like social media is becoming increasingly fake in that way. No, go ahead.
I would underscore what Caitlin said. That is also something that has really been resonating with me. And I would just add that, you know, if any of your listeners have experiences with prediction markets, we'd love to hear from them. And our contact information is on our author pages on WSJ.com.
Well, as we wrap up, then where can people find you?
Find us in the Wall Street Journal. if you're a print head, you know, we still publish in print, but otherwise it's WSJ.com.
We live and breathe on social media right now, so you can give us a follow there too.
Yeah, where are you at? You on Twitter and Blue Sky, just Twitter, or where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at @ByKLong and on Blue Sky at you know, I don't remember
I'll
my Blue Sky username.
Don't you worry about
all of my socials are CE Ostroff, so I like should be relatively like consistent.
Caitlin has the best nominative determinism initials of all time. Her initials are CEO, and she is our boss.
No, Neil hell is our boss.
Big shout out to Neil for finding Poi Market. I am, of course, Ed Zetron. I'll be back with a monologue on Friday. You can, of course, bet on this on Goot. Each goot is worth 1,000 slubs, so make sure to invest your slubs based on the number of times I said "the" in this episode. That will, of course, funnel into it's an account in the Cayman Islands I have. It's fully legal. I've checked with many lawyers, several of which haven't been disbarred. This has, of course, been Bear Offline. I'm your host, Ed Zitron. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Better Offline. The editor and composer of the Better Offline theme song is Matt Osowski. You can check out more of his music and audio projects at mattosowski.com. MattOsowski.com. You can email me at ez@betteroffline.com or visit betteroffline.com to find more podcast links and, of course, my newsletter. I also really recommend you go to chat.wheresyoured.at to visit the Discord and go to r/betteroffline to check out our Reddit. Thank you so much for listening.
Better Offline is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.